So, good morning, church. So, last week, Adam started us off on the Talking Jesus course, which we thought would be a great way to follow on from our weekend away. But I also see there's new people in the room and there's people who haven't been to our weekend away, which was 2 weeks ago. And we basically talked about flowing out into our community over the weekend. We brainstormed, we all got really excited about it. And, just as we were singing, we want to see the goodness of God in the land we're living in. And that's what we're talking about. So we thought this would be a great way to follow on from the weekend away, because it's about giving us the tools and the confidence to go out there and actually talk to people. In parallel to this course that we're doing here on a Sunday morning, we've also have a newly formed evangelism team. Whoop, whoop. and they're going to be, but we're just sorting out a date when we can actually meet, but hopefully next week. But if you do have it on your heart to join that team, then come and talk to me. Otherwise, it's basically this team is set up so it can enable all of us to give us the actual opportunities to go out there. It's not to do it for us. It's just to create the opportunities so we can go out there and organize those. So today, second session of the course. I will start us off with some questions. Then we're going to watch a short video. And then we'll have some group work that we kind of can discuss what we've just seen. So let's get into it. And let's see if that works. No? Yes. Jesus tells us to go and tells us that he's with us. So go, I am with you. And in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, he gives us the authority to go and make disciples. Now, why is that so hard? He tells us to do it quite clearly in the Bible, but we hesitate. And when we get the chance to actually talk to people, it feels really hard, especially when it's friends and family. I find random strangers easier for some reason. Yeah, friends and family a lot harder. And taking on this challenge that Jesus sets us seems rather difficult. But when we do pray and go for it, like seeing the results it can bring is just so amazing. And, just one conversation can change someone's life. And that could be a casual conversation, So here's my first question to you. What prompted you to become a Christian? No. Yeah, there you go. What prompted you to become a Christian? So for me, it was in my interview at my new job, or the job I went for an interview, they told me, we're Christians. You don't have to be one, but this is how this company is run. This is how we work around here. And then I just saw them living it out. And that made me curious. Where is Steve? Right, Steve and Fiona have a very different story.
Yeah, we were minding our own business at home and somebody knocked on our door. There was a group of people praying around our streets and they kept coming back to our door, encouraging us to come along to a church meeting, which we eventually did, and just bowled over by being hit by the Holy Spirit big time. And we weren't searching. We didn't think we were particularly friendly at the door. But we just went along to the church once to be sociable. But here we are. Never been anywhere else, so long time.
So that was worth my knocking on the door. I'm looking at you two. I know your story, but how did you become a Christian?
Well, for us, it was meeting Adam on a dog walk. And we got to know those guys. And we always said we saw a light in them that we were like, what are these guys doing different to what we're doing? And we wanted to explore that. So we asked those guys more questions and then finally came along to church and the rest is history.
So do you think it was scary? Well, it probably was scary for the people to knock on the Briggs' door, especially if they weren't very nice to start with. But from my situation, I'm sure it wasn't that scary for people to tell me in an interview. I'm sure they told everyone, this is who we are, and then they lived it. But it's like, whether it was scary or not, just look at the result. You're here because someone either took a scary step or a non-scary step to tell you about it, and you're here, and that makes it all worth it. And now have a think about, have you had Any opportunities this week? Actually, I'd love to hear from anyone who had an opportunity this week to talk to someone. Last week, Carrie shared a lovely story that she had coffee with a friend who has been for 20 years and never wanted to hear about Jesus. And last week, she did. It's like, wonderful. Anyone had an opportunity this week to share? Oh, Becky, do you want to come up?
Hello. This week, the head of my team called me about some work. And the next day, we were having a graduation ceremony at Reading Minster. And he was like, oh, I'm coming to the graduation tomorrow. It's a Reading Minster. And he was like, so is Reading Minster the biggest church in Reading? And I'm like, I don't really know. But if it's a Minster, that means it's a really big church, like Westminster and York Minster. And I'm like, I don't really know, Chris. My church doesn't meet in a doesn't have a building. We meet in a school. Your church meets in a school? Yes, Chris. We don't have a building. We've always been fairly nomadic. We've moved over the years. We currently meet in a school. We're looking at getting a building. We nearly got there, but it fell through. So yeah, we don't have a building. So I don't know about this sort of kind of stuff. Huh. I always thought your church was C of E. No, it's not C of E. Huh. It's non-denominational. It's non-denominational. Yes. So, but you could still call yourself a Christian. Yes. You still go to like the Christian philosophy and things like that. I was like, yes. I was like, huh. So is your church leader like a reverend or a vicar or anything? It was like, no, he's just Adam Chisnell, church leader. And he's like, oh, this is very interesting. I'm sorry I'm asking lots of questions. I'm just very curious. He's like, that's okay. I can't really remember what I asked yet at last. But yes, we were talking for quite a while. It was quite funny.
Well done you. Good job. It's like, and it is that people just ask questions. It's brilliant. I mean, I'd love it if every week we have a little slot before the video and see if anyone had an opportunity, and there's always someone that can share something. And there should be more than one. You know, it's like, as we go on in the weeks, it'd be wonderful to share more. Oh, Richard, come on then.
I was in Cambridge at my son's house, and the Jehovah's Witnesses came and knocked on the door. So to keep the heat inside the house, I just stood outside in the front porch, and we had about a 15-minute conversation. They were, I in a sense led the conversation with talking about Bible verses and things. So rather than going on to their more negative way of talking about the way things are at the moment.
There's opportunities everywhere, even when the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door. So let's watch the video, and then I'll set you some questions and some group work afterwards. It's only 15 minutes, so don't fall asleep.
Today, I'm up early, and I'm about to climb a mountain. I'm away from the busyness, but I think it's going to be very relaxing.
Now, I find when I talk about Jesus, I feel like I'm involved in something really weighty, you know, something that really matters.
And I'm here in Bristol to chat to two people for whom motivation has led to action.
When they asked us about what we're involved in, we talked about church, they just said, oh, that's really interesting, we'd like to come and check that out sometime.
This is Talking Jesus.
Jesus told a parable about a loving shepherd who went on an all-out search and rescue mission to recover one lost sheep. The original hearers would have wondered why. Why take the risk? Why the hassle for just one? But through this story, Jesus captured the very heart of God.
Imagine that shepherd, eyes of compassion, furrowed brow, concerned to the point of distraction. A picture
of the face of God. Today, we're focusing on why talk about Jesus. Even when we're tired, or scared, or just don't feel like it. This morning, I'm up early, and I'm going to climb a mountain. And having never climbed a mountain before, I'm a little bit scared. I've got an invitation to climb this mountain from Andrew Ollerton.
Hey, Joanna.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great to see you, yeah.
Good to see you.
Beautiful day for it.
Lovely, isn't it?
I'll just get my rucksack now, yeah.
As well as being passionate about sharing his faith, Andrew is also passionate about the great outdoors.
Okay.
You ready?
I don't know.
Come on, let's do it. Let's do it, over this way.
Yeah.
I've climbed lots of mountains, but I still hear that little voice inside, halfway up sometimes, sort of saying, why am I doing this? I don't want to do this.
Why on earth are you doing this?
Exactly. Well, I've learned not to listen to that voice.
Cause yeah.
If you just keep going, you get to the top and you'll think, I'm so glad I did this. You will, I promise.
So, okay, it's a beautiful mountain, but why is it like talking Jesus?
Yeah, no, good. I mean, we're here for a reason, right? And I think mountains are a great analogy for talking Jesus, because talking Jesus can feel hard work, tiring, and also a bit intimidating. But just like climbing a mountain, if you go for it, if you give it a try,
yeah,
you do reach a place of realizing that was so worth it.
Yeah.
You discover that you're part of something so significant. I find when I talk about Jesus, I feel like I'm involved in something really weighty, you know, something that really matters. Let me find a way through for us here.
I'm gonna go in front.
Here we go, I'll see if we can.
So when it gets difficult like this,
yeah,
mountain climbing, you're keeping me going, so I have a choice. But we're talking about talking Jesus.
Yeah.
What is it that keeps us going?
Well, I think it's God's love, isn't it? I mean, it's his love for the lost.
Yeah.
That drives us forward, that gives us the energy.
Yeah.
Gives us the energy. You know, when we feel like it's easier just to keep quiet or give up, it's God's love that gives us the energy to keep going. You know, back to that story of the lost sheep. Yeah. He's the good shepherd. He loves each one as if they're the only one. That's the love of God that energizes us.
Whew.
Oh, wow, look at that.
It is.
Let's have a seat, you've done well. Let's take a bit of a breather.
Woo.
Superb.
So it's really like God's love that motivates us, isn't it?
It is, yeah. No, it absolutely is God's love. I love the verse from the Apostle Paul. He says, the love of Christ compels us.
Yeah.
Compelling love. I mean, ultimately, that's why Jesus died, right? He died because God loves this broken, lost world so much.
So we do live in, like, you know, a world where everyone's lost and broken, but it's not always that obvious because some people have got it all together and they've got a great job and lots of money and...
Yeah, but looks can be deceptive, right? I mean, especially from an eternal perspective. Mm. Even successful people, people with money and a social profile to dream of, everyone needs Jesus.
Yeah.
Broken people, successful people, everyone needs his compelling love. And that's why we've got to share it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've had a breather. Shall we go for it?
Yeah.
Can you make it to the top?
I don't know, but let's try.
Let's get on with it.
Go for a jog. Haven't you got?
Up this way, yeah, to the right.
Away from the mountain, what does love for everyone mean in everyday life? Anna is in Bristol.
The author of one of the Gospels in the Bible makes a clear statement. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life.
So it seems to me that when we get on mission with God, it's actually really significant. There's life and death at stake.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that we lose sight of. We sometimes think, well, it's a nice thing for people to have, or it's an optional extra for them. But scripture says that this is something that has unbelievably high stakes. It's literally the offer of life forever. Right. And why wouldn't we want to offer that and talk about that? Sometimes we look at the people around us, work colleagues, friends, family, and we think, their lives are pretty okay, or they might even be better than ours in many ways. But the Bible says that ultimately everyone has to face death. And the idea that there is eternal life at stake, that God loves people so much that he wants to give us life without end, nothing could be more important than being able to share that. That is just the most unbelievable, incredible news that everybody has to hear.
Wow, yeah. So what does that look like for you practically on a day-to-day?
I think it just means that whatever I am, whatever I'm doing, I'm always seeing how can I share this amazing news with those around me. So that's with my neighbours, it's with my friends, it's with the people that I see that don't know Jesus. I don't want to be inappropriate, but I do want to always be looking, how can I express something of God's love for people and share the good news with them?
So it's actually as simple, but also as significant as that.
It is. And that's the beauty of it, that God has been gracious to us and we've been brought into this amazing good news. Someone told us.
Right.
And we've been given this responsibility and this privilege of sharing God's love with others. And so I think we just need to keep that in mind, keep it always at the front of our thoughts, that people need Jesus and God has trusted us to tell them.
Great. So do you have any practical examples of when you shared your faith?
Just a couple of days ago, we had our neighbours round. Some new people moved in, a new couple. But before they came round, I sat down with my wife and we just prayed. We prayed that God would bless our neighbours, that God would make us a blessing to them. And we prayed that we'd have an opportunity to share our faith in a most natural way. And we had this really unusually good evening where we just seemed to get on really well. And eventually, when they asked us about what we were involved in, we talked about church. They just said, that's really interesting. We'd like to come and check that out sometime, which I was not expecting at all. But we then said, well, would you like to come? We've got an Easter special coming up. We can invite you to that. And it was, yeah, sure, we'd love to. And you find out that people are a lot more interested than we sometimes give them credit for, because God's moving in people's lives. And I think if we pray, we put ourselves into that position, then he can use us more than we realise.
Right. Thanks, Philip. Great chatting. We better finish these crafts, though.
Thank you very much.
Bristol has a thriving university population. I'm going to meet Alexia, a student at the University of Bristol.
What would you like? Yes, that sounds lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I hear that you've actually invited lots of people to church, lots of your friends and fellow students.
Yeah.
So how did that come about?
So in my first year, my birthday fell on a Sunday, and it got to the evening and my friends were like, well, what do you want to do? And so, yeah, I told them I was going to be going to church, not really expecting them to come along, but they were like, oh, if that's what you're going to do, we'd love to come with you. I was like, okay, that would be great.
Wow, that's really interesting, because it's funny how often we think that people don't want to know or they're not going to be interested.
Yeah.
How will they take it? But they wanted to come and
so interested to find out and see what made me want to go on my birthday and celebrate in that way. And yeah, they said they found it wasn't what they expected, but really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, wow. So it's actually quite natural how it all happened.
Yeah, completely.
So you've had such a good response, which is amazing. It must be really encouraging. But do people ever not want to come?
Yeah, sometimes, unfortunately, people aren't so keen. And sometimes, once they've been once, doesn't mean they want to come every time. But I think that doesn't stop me. I think I'm always encouraged when people come along. So I continue to ask.
It's great. It's really good.
Jesus met his disciples on a mountain when he gave them his last famous words, the Great Commission.
Yeah.
He left it ringing in the ears of his disciples and echoing through the centuries to us. Isn't it amazing?
Beautiful. That is fantastic.
Wow.
Oh, this is why I love climbing mountains. You just get these big perspectives, you know. It helps you to sort of think about things. And we can be encouraged, you know. Jesus said in that Great Commission, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So it's Jesus that saves people. We don't need to make people believe. We can just relax and be confident, right?
Yeah.
It depends on Jesus.
It's quite reassuring, isn't it? That we can just be ourselves. But then how do we come into that?
Well, then he says, go, right? Mm-hmm. Then he's very intentional towards us. He says, you've got to go. You've got to, that's his commission to us, to step out in his name and go and talk about Jesus.
Yeah. Go is, you know, is such an intentional word, isn't it?
That's right.
It's loaded. It's practical. It's get up, go do something.
Exactly. We've got to do something, right? We've got to go means to go and pray. Mm. You can do that every day for people. For our opportunities to share our faith, we can go out of our way every day, out of our comfort zone, and talk Jesus. And ultimately, with God's amazing love for this world in mind, and the bigger picture, that eternal destinies are at stake. We've got to go. We've got to be intentional.
Yeah.
On a daily basis, we've got to go and talk Jesus.
So I found that encouraging, saying it's not, you know, Jesus saves people. It's not our job. We just need to go and ask and then leave the rest up to Jesus. I think that's quite encouraging. It's like it makes the job a lot easier. So now I'm going to get you into groups. So four or five, I wouldn't go any more. And we've got three questions. Can we have all three of them together? Okay. Okay, there's three questions, and I need you to pick one each. So I'll give you 8 minutes as a group, and you can pick one question each and then discuss that in your group. So the smaller your group, the more time you have to talk, otherwise you have 2 minutes each to talk about the question. So you've got three questions, one being describe an occasion when you have shared your Christian faith, and how did you feel before and after talking about Jesus? What was the outcome? Or when did you last invite someone to church? What happened? And if they said no, what happened next? Or if you don't have an occasion where you shared your faith, what stops you? So it's like whichever camp you're in, have you shared your faith, invited someone to church, or not had an opportunity? Pick one of those questions. So get into groups, have a little chat, and encourage each other really with those answers, because I think it's going to be quite encouraging. Off you go. So I hope that was encouraging, and I want to send you off with a thought for this week, which I've just completely changed from what I've had here. So as you go into this week, and while the worship band comes back up, hint, hint, have a think about how you can be intentional this week about talking about Jesus. Now, we're actually giving you a really easy opportunity at Oktoberfest. Because we're inviting our friends and family. Jana's invited loads of her friends. So Edge guys, come along. So Jana's friends have someone to talk to. Well, I don't know if we can fit a gazebo in our garden. But, you know, there is a really easy opportunity there. Oh, how do you know Heike and Paul? Oh, we go to church together. You know, like, what do you do on Sundays? Oh, you send your child to what, Waltham School? It's a church school. Why did you send your child to a church school? You know, there's like opportunities there, really easy to talk to people about church. And basically, we want you guys to evangelize our friends. So that's the point. So come along, have some beer and pretzels, and help us evangelize our friends and neighbors, and bring your own friends along. It's a non-church event, so it should be very... easy to invite people to rather than being scary. And also, pray for five. So if you weren't here last week, Adam asked us to pick five people who are not believers yet and pray for them regularly. And this is based on the statistic that one in five people would like to hear more about what, you know, church and Jesus. So pick five people, pray for them, and be intentional and see, ask God for any opportunities to talk to them this week or share who you are.